good afternoon. And as Mikey said, we're continuing our series on money, and particularly looking at gluttony today. And I want to actually start off by flagging a word of caution as I come to this subject. Because I think when we come to the subject of gluttony, that is eating too much, eating almost out of a greed or just eating too much. I don't want to define it too much at this stage. But as we come to this, I think it's a great area of confusion for our culture. I want to just flag some of the areas now for this. We live in a world of incredible abundance of food and mass starvation. That's my phone. I need to turn that off, don't I? Here we go. We live in a world of incredible abundance for us here, but of also great starvation for many other people around the world. And they're the images that we have, that people are starving in the world, but there's plenty of food for me. In our TV and our media, in our newspapers, we have more TV shows now on more cooking shows than we've ever had before. When I was growing up as a kid, you know, I can remember there was the odd cooking show. But we have a lot of them now. In fact, there are whole TV channels on pay TV which are just lifestyle channels. And it's just about cooking food, renovating your house, just doing that type of stuff, isn't it? So we've got all these cooking shows, got all these cooking competitions. You know, what's the youngest kid who can be the most incredible cook? Because you just can't have food. You've got to have incredible food. So we've got all these food programs that we haven't had before, food channels. And you know, you get the newspaper and there's the food guide and all this. But now we've actually got all these programs on how to lose weight. And we never had that. When I was a kid, we didn't have programs on how to lose weight. So we've got more how to eat food, and food's got to be of this caliber. But now we've also got more and more, you know, excess baggage, The Biggest Loser, all those different programs, which I enjoy to sit down and watch, see how they're going to go, because you want it to go well for them, don't you? Right? It's people with their struggles and their life story. And it's a very personal thing, and something that actually affects people's lives greatly. When they've eaten too much, it actually affects them greatly. And that's why I'm trying to flag this as a very sensitive thing here. There may be people sort of at the other ends, and this is where I need to be real careful with what I say today, because there might be some of you here who have actually got eating disorders. And the last thing you need to hear from me is be careful what you eat, because you're not eating enough food. You actually go out of your way not to eat food. And so I've got to cover that base as well, because we're not all overeating here. Some of us may be seriously undereating, and that may be a serious issue for you. Some of you may just struggle with guilt with the way that you eat. You're just struggling with guilt. It is actually something in you that makes you feel insecure because of the way you eat. It may be that you have a medical condition. Maybe some gland in your body isn't working, and you just go big. You just actually can't help exactly how you are, and you feel that people condemn you for how you are. And the last thing you need is for me to say, you're fat, you know? You shouldn't be. You see what I mean? Like, this isn't an easy thing to talk about. There's a lot of parameters here that come into this. And another one can be that you can actually be gluttonous and not overweight. So you actually might be slim, and you've learned to control your gluttony. So you are gluttonous with your food, but you're not overweight because you've figured out a way to have the two go together. Sort of like, you know, safe sex or something, where you've figured out some way of not catching sexually transmitted diseases, but you're still doing it, right? And so you might be thin and gluttonous. And the final one might be, you actually might be hungry. For you, gluttony may not be an issue because you're a student, and we keep talking about how we live in the rich West and everything, but you're actually not that rich. You're actually struggling to make ends meet. And maybe there are people in the West who are rich, and we're always meant to feel guilty because we're Westerners, guilty about everything in the world, but you're actually quite hungry. So, look, I've just put those out there to say, I've tried to take all of that on board today. Because as we come to this subject of gluttony, it's not just going to be don't eat too much. There's a whole lot of things happening as I come to talk about this subject of how we eat and how to be thinking about food in a godly way. And so I want us to start off with trying to clear away this confusion and get us onto some solid ground by actually looking at what God says about food. And so to start off with, I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 2, where we have God and his original plan for humanity. He makes Adam and he places him in the garden. And in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food." And so we see that good food is provided for us by God and was provided for Adam, and it's good. It's not just that, you know, Adam needed to recharge, right? Food is more than just, you know, recharging. It was pleasing to the eye. It was good food. It was enjoyable food. It was the blessing of God. Part of the way that God blessed Adam was by giving him an abundance of food. Then when we move a little further on and we go to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 24, and we read about God bringing the Israelites into the promised land. The promised land is described in terms of food. So it says, so Deuteronomy 20, verse 24. "But I say to you, you will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey." And so one of the ideas that comes with the land of Israel is that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. When they send in the spies to look at the land, they get these huge grape vines and grape clusters that they bring out at the abundance of food in this place. But again, food and a good provision of food is actually the blessing of God. Have a look at when Paul is speaking, when the Apostle Paul is an evangelist and he's preaching to some people who aren't Jews. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 17, this is what he says about God and how they can know God's goodness. So in Acts 14, verse 17, he says, "Yet he," that is God, "yet God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." Again, a very positive attitude towards food, isn't it? That God provides for you with plenty of food to eat. He's made a world that actually grows this food. I've been told this by various sources, and you see it every now and then, that yes, there are people starving in our world, but our world actually produces more than enough food to feed everyone. So it's not that our food is not abundant, that God hasn't made an abundant planet for us to provide for all of us. The issues of starvation have got to do with other issues, not God's provision to us. And in fact, remember when Jesus was there with a group of thousands of people and he miraculously fed them from just fish and loaves, a few fish and a few loaves, he fed them, and it actually says that they all ate and there was leftovers. So when Jesus came to when Jesus came and fed people, it wasn't stingy. He didn't just say, "Oh, you only have a little bit, you know, you had too much today." No, he actually fed them and there was enough, you know, that they collected these basketfuls left over. So that's the first thing I want to say about food. That is, food is good. Food is a blessing from God. God richly provides us with food in a whole range of ways. In fact, that the kingdom of God, heaven itself when it comes, is spoken of as a banquet sometimes. It's one of the images that's used to talk about it. That it's a banquet where you'll feast with God. Time of feasting and celebration. So food is good. It's to be enjoyed. It's also to be shared. There's a strong theme of the goodness of God in giving to us and making sure that we share that around. But food is not evil. Food's not a distraction. It's a good blessing from God. So I need to put that out there. And again, I want to encourage you, you know, you need to be eating properly, rightly, giving thanks to God for what he's given to us. Right? We're not to go thinking that we're better if we don't eat. Well, using food rightly. I want to move on to using food rightly. And we're going to particularly look at some of the Proverbs here. In Proverbs 25, verse 15, Israel was told that the land they were going to enter was flowing with milk and honey. But Proverbs 25, verse 15 says, "If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you'll vomit." So it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but be careful how you eat this food. It's not just a simple matter of have as much of it as you like. Or in Proverbs 28, verse 7, "He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father." Or in Titus chapter 1, verse 12, the Apostle Paul speaking of referring to a prophet from the Cretan community, he says, "One of their own prophets has said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons.'" And then in Proverbs 23, verse 19, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Do not join with those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." And so we see that there's the idea of eating too much food, of being a glutton, is actually a negative thing in the Bible. So on the one hand, God makes food. It's a great blessing. Enjoy it with thankfulness. Share it around. Don't see it as a negative thing, but it's part of the way that you maintain your health. But to be gorging yourself with food is a negative thing. In fact, it's paralleled to drinking too much wine. It's paralleled to drunkenness. In that God makes wine, and that's okay. But if you drink too much, you're a drunkard. And it's a similar type of thing with food. You have food, and that's a good thing. But if you have too much of it, for whatever reason, it becomes a bad thing. In fact, it becomes sin. On many occasions, gluttony will be a sin. When you're eating with that greed for food and the way that people drink, the way that people are led by alcohol, that it consumes their life, that it affects their behavior, when food affects us like that, then we're actually sinning. It's seen as a negative thing within the Bible. You see, in our community, we have a massive problem with alcohol. And there are a number of reports you can see which will talk about the number of hospital beds in our health system which are being filled from alcohol-related problems. And I think it's about 1 in 5. It's around that. This is either through domestic violence or people drinking too much and damaging their body, and it costs us billions of dollars because of the alcohol problem. But equally, we've got a massive obesity problem in our culture. We've got this abundance of food, and there's a lot of now problems coming about from people eating too much food. Okay, and we're going to look at why people eat too much, and we need to think through that. But it's these parallel ideas in the Bible of over-drinking, overeating, that they're things that are not the godly way. Now, Mikey mentioned before the seven deadly sins, and you may have heard of those. They actually come from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. It's interesting that gluttony is not on that list, but the church in its history has made its own seven deadly sins, and certainly gluttony is one of them. And throughout the church's history, it's taught against gluttony. That you see, you need food, but you can eat too much of it. You can be a glutton. You can actually stuff yourself with food. Food can control you in a way that it's not supposed to. Now, what I want to do now, hopefully putting out some corner posts there for you, seeing the goodness of food and that it's clearly wrong. We mustn't be controlled by food and going that direction. I want us to look now at how the Bible helps us to engage with this. So I'm going to look at what Jesus says about food. Then I'm going to look at about emotional eating, why people eat for emotional reasons. And then I'm going to look at some wisdom and then we're going to look at the call of the gospel. So let's have a look at the first of those. And let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And I think as we go through these, that different ones of these may impact you in different ways. I'm not expecting each of these to be applying to all of you in exactly the same way. So look at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Go down to verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field that is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, are you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. It's verse 32 that I want us to look at particularly here. That the pagans, that is the non-godly people in the world, people who don't want to live for God, how does Jesus characterize them? He says they run after, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? And I actually think that Jesus' summation there fits our culture very well. Because in our culture, isn't that a mark of our culture? The wearing of the latest fashions, the drinking of the latest wine, the eating of the latest foods and having this food and getting, you know, I've got to know the culture, I've got to know the cooking cultures from all around the world. I just can't know my own culture's cooking now. I've got to know the entire world's cooking cultures because I've got to have those experiences. And I find it strange that very often the English culture with its basic cooking is often denigrated for the extravagant cultures around the world. But there's also something good about the old European culture of a simple, basic diet where they didn't go extravagantly over that. Now, in time that they did, just about as anyone else now. But this is the character of our world. Life. Life is in what you drink. Life is in the foods that you've experienced. You know, you just can't have Thai food. You've got to go to Thailand to eat Thai food. You've got to go out into the village to eat the food. Why are you going to Thailand to eat the food in a village? See, for some people, that's life. That is how you experience life. Right? You just can't have wine. You've got to have wine from this region. You just can't have clothes. You've got to have the latest fashion. I remember just after I left school, a number of my friends who were girls got jobs, and they pretty well spent all their money on clothes. The boys were spending pretty well all their money on cars, and the girls were spending their money on clothes. And there was this whole fashion thing. Now, yes, you've got to look nice and you've got to be warm and everything else, but there's that point at which it becomes chasing fashion, isn't it? Where life is the fashion. Where how I feel about myself, where my self-security, who I am, how I'm feeling today, am I feeling well, depends upon what fashion I'm wearing and am I up to date with the fashion. See, at that point, you're not living for God anymore. You're not thankful to God. You're not realizing that God's the great one in your life, that knowing God is the most important thing. Yes, God wants you to wear nice clothes, but when the way you feel depends upon the food that you are eating, the food that I'm going to have tonight. You know, I haven't really planned anything for tonight, so I'm not feeling very well. Right? The food that we eat determines how we feel and our value of life, well, then we're in gluttony, aren't we? And you see, that's what Jesus says the pagan world is like, and that's what our culture is like. As I said, the TV programs are just covering this in a whole range of ways. The newspapers have all the good living guides. You know, if you want to live well, what's the good living guide? Well, it's all about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. And that's just the background noise. That's just the ocean that we swim in, the waves that toss us about. Now, as Christians, we're to think differently to that, because there's more to life than just what you eat, what you drink, or what you wear. Right? There is more to life than what you drink, what you eat, or what you wear. There is knowing God. There is loving God. There is serving God in this world. There is living for God's kingdom. And that is what matters before anything else. See, Jesus doesn't say, don't eat, don't drink, don't wear clothes. He says, God knows you need those and they'll be provided, but seek his kingdom. Now, one of the reasons why our culture finds it very difficult to cope with an abundance of food is because we've turned our back on God and given ourselves over to pleasure. Well, we just eat all the food that's there because it's pleasurable. And we don't really have any other reason not to. And so for many people, this abundance of food and living for pleasure means that they just become obese. They just put on too much weight. And so that's what we see happening within our culture. Now, as Christians, we're to remember what Jesus said, and that is, man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone. When God taught the Israelites that lesson, he brought them out into the wilderness and made them hungry. They're still alive, but he made them hungry. You know, I think we can often think, I'm hungry, I must eat straight away. No, no, you don't have to eat straight away. The most important thing is God in your life. Your food will come. You're not going to die of starvation. But you see, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when we think that our life, that the quality of our life is the food that we eat, then we're not realizing that it's the word of God in our life, the word of God, knowing God, that's the most important thing. So that's the first thing that Jesus says for us there, about we're not to be living for pleasure like the world around us, like the people around us. We're to be different. We're to be living for God. And as we start to shift our thinking to be living for God, it will affect the way that we eat. The second one I wanted to bring up with was emotional eating. I've got some friends, and they've got some daughters a little bit younger than me. And the mother, one of the ways that she used to help her daughter was going through a bit of a depressed stage in life, just feeling a bit down. And whenever the daughter was feeling a bit down, the mother would go out and buy a Danish pastry, bring it home from work, and say to her daughter, here, eat this. And, you know, it'll cheer you up. Eat this Danish pastry. And so the girl, no, it did, right? The girl was feeling down. She enjoyed the Danish pastry, and so she'd eat up the Danish pastry. And then, you know, that SMS during the day, and the mum would bring home another one from work. And so the daughter, though, she developed this habit of whenever she feels a bit down, whenever she feels a bit low, you eat to make yourself feel better. Now, that mother was talking to me about how she laments doing that because her daughter's just put on all this weight. Because whenever she was feeling down, she'd go out and eat a Danish. Now, I think for many people, we can eat as an emotional response. And so this isn't sort of a greed type of sin. This is just almost being a victim in our world, in a sense. It's where the fallenness of our world means that we develop bad habits. And we can develop a habit of cheering ourselves up through food. Now, it's still gluttony, don't get me wrong. It's still gluttony, because you're eating more food than you need. But we've got to think about why we eat. And it may be that's where you're coming from, that there's you've got an emotional pain, or you've got some type of frustration, or you're just feeling low, and you've developed a habit of eating food to feel better. Now, again, I think the lesson for us in this is that we need to remember Jesus' lesson here, that ultimately the one we need to turn to for help is God. If we're feeling down, we shouldn't be turning to food. Right? Obviously, when you eat food, there are sensations. It's, you know, it it tastes nice, and so you can feel nice because it tastes nice, you feel nice, you feel a bit better than you were before. But it's still eating more food than you should be eating. And what God says, God never says, the Bible never says, when you're feeling down, go and eat some food. Right? What it says is, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling anxious, you turn to God. You turn to God in prayer. You turn to your friends for support. These are the ways that we need to be thinking about this. And so I think if we are overeating, that we need to just do what I was just saying there. You know, have a look at why we're overeating. Maybe it's something that our parents have set a bad example for us. It might be that we've made our own habit in an unhelpful way. But there might be some reason as to why you're overeating. And we need to realize that ultimately food's not going to answer that for us. Just eating ultimately is not going to give you fulfillment and what you need in life. The things that you need in life is actually God. You need to know God, to know that God loves you, that you are God's person, and then to have the support of the church around you. But we mustn't go having our support being our food. I want us to look at wisdom now. And again, just teasing out some wisdom to help us as we live in a world where food is portrayed in the way it is. I think one of the problems we can have is that manufacturers today go out of their way to make food that tastes really nice. And so it's not like, you know, you're coming across on some boat with the convicts from England or something, and the food is, you know, maggot-infested meat, and, you know, you didn't really want to eat it anyway. We have beautifully prepared food with all these additives that they put in it to make it taste fantastic. We have all the seasonings from around the world to make it fantastic. And so that's part of the world in which we live that we need to be aware of. And I think what we need to do is we need to develop a taste for healthy food. We need to not just be led by the advertisers into eating this food because it tastes great, but actually, you know, if there's food you don't like, if there's vegetables you don't like or whatever it is, you say, I don't like that food, I'm just going to eat all this other food, to actually learn to eat healthy food so that you're not just eating because of the pleasure, because of the joy of it, but you're actually eating because you say, no, this is healthy food, may not taste, you know, Brussels sprouts, whatever it's going to be for you, right? But to actually have some self-control that we're going to look at in a moment and to develop other tastes so we're not just eating for pleasure. It's not just I only eat what I like, but it's actually, you know, I eat what's needed. I eat what's a healthy thing for me to do. I think for me, one of the ways that I try to control my eating in this regard is I plan for the danger zones. So I plan for the danger zone. Now, you might have your own little danger zone. I'll tell you my danger zone. This is really private here. But my danger zone is after dinner. So during the day, I'm working, and I love my work. I want to get my work done, so I don't even think too much about eating during the day. Right? I'll stop and I'll eat because I know I have to eat, and so that's fine. But after dinner, that's when I go, you know, I've eaten beautiful food that my wife's prepared and everything, and I go, got all those Easter eggs under the house, you know, got all those, that ice cream in the fridge, got all this other stuff, and I can just go and eat a whole stack of it, right? And so for me, what I do is, I at least know that that's the time I might be gluttonous, that that's the time when I might eat more than I need to. And so what I try to do is, I do a simple thing like brush my teeth quickly after dinner, because once you brush your teeth, it's all sealed, you don't have to go brush your teeth again. And so, well, that's how I think. But I try to do something, I just try to be wise, I try to know myself. I've tried to understand who I am, why I'm doing what I'm doing, and to take that into account. The other thing we do in our family is we actually have days when you can eat chocolate, when you can eat your ice creams. So for us, it's Saturday and Wednesday. And so on those days, the chocolate boxes come out, the ice cream comes out of the fridge, and you know, we have a great time just watching videos and eating and, you know, having a feast together, having a great time together. So, you know, as I said, the Bible doesn't say you don't feast, you don't enjoy yourself, you don't celebrate, but you don't be a glutton and have it the characteristic of your life all the time either. So in our family, we try to, we've developed this habit with our children where we let them have treats on a couple of days a week. But then the rest of the time, we want to eat sensibly. And we try to help them as long as with that as we can. Now, I think one of the things we can say here is, again, how much do you eat? What is the right amount to eat? When, at what point are you becoming gluttonous? Now, I actually think that that's not an easy thing for me to define for you. In our culture today, people, I think, would see themselves as being that thinner is more healthy. But in, you know, if, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago, people saw themselves bigger as still being healthy. And so there is that cultural aspect to it as well. I guess if you're in doubt, what I recommend you do is you talk to your doctor and say to your doctor, what's a healthy weight range for me to be in? And again, because I can't answer that for you, and as I said, it is a bit flexible. What you don't need to do, though, is to look at the photoshopped models and say, if I don't look like that, then I'm not, you know, I'm eating too much, or I'm not eating, you know, whatever it's going to be. And so it may be that you actually, you know, you're feeling guilty when you don't need to, because you're actually, you're being healthy. And so I don't want to leave you feeling guilty here when you don't need to be. We shouldn't be overeating, but we want to make sure that we're being healthy as well. And again, talk to your doctor and make sure what your healthy weight range should be. Because you see, I actually think that when it comes to food in our culture, we need to be careful. We need to be careful just because of the abundance of food around us. You see, I think that when it comes to food, we can worry when we don't have enough. Right? We worry when we don't have enough. Don't have enough food, I'm worried, I've got to get more food, and that's how it is. But then once we get enough food, we stop worrying. Okay? So we don't have enough food, we're worried, we want to get more. Once we get enough food, we stop worrying. But I think what the Bible's saying is, no, you still need to worry even when you get enough food. You need to make sure you don't eat too much. You need to make sure that you have self-control. And so, I think that's what's happened with our culture, that we've got this abundance of food, and we said, we don't need to worry about this anymore. We've got all the food we need. We don't need to worry about food, but we actually do need to worry about it. And that's because of this last point here, that the way that we eat is actually part of our holiness. So come with me to Titus, please, and we'll finish up here in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see, what does the gospel do? The salvation that God brings, when we look at the person of Jesus and see what he's done for us, that he saved us to be God's people, that Jesus lived the self-controlled life, that Jesus said no to himself, and that he lived for God by saying no to himself, you know, not my will, but your will be done, Father. So Jesus said no. It's the gospel that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and instead to live self-controlled lives. You see, self-control is a very important aspect of holiness. For us as Christians, self-control is a very important aspect of holiness. In fact, I'd say it filters into almost every other area. And so having self-control is not just you know, and a matter of, well, you know, maybe I'll do that later on, or that's just for the zealous Christian or something or other. But controlling our bodies, controlling our desires, not being governed by our desires, because that's what I think self-control is. Self-control is saying, yes, I've got this desire, but it just doesn't take over and drive me to where it wants to go. I'm in control. I'm not driven by my passions. And self-control is an integral part of Christian holiness. And so when it comes to eating too much food and the way we eat, we need to think of this in terms of our Christian holiness, that we need to have self-control. We need to be thinking through, applying our wisdom, and again, just putting up, you know, applying the wisdom that God has given us so that we're eating in an appropriate way, that we're not governed by food, that food isn't controlling us in the way that sexual lust might, you know, for some person, sexual lust might be their problem of trying to control them, or their anger might be the passion that tries to control them. Well, we can't let our food, our appetite, control us either. Because there is this aspect in Christianity of saying no to ourself, of saying no. Now, again, we live in an age where you're basically told you never say no to yourself. You don't deny yourself. If you want it, you go and take it. But in Christianity, just because you want something, it doesn't mean you automatically take it. You need to think it through. Should I have this? Am I taking this in the right way? And so we need to be growing in our self-control. Now, it's this self-control, again, that I said, that we actually see in Jesus. Jesus is the one who says no to himself. He's got his own desires. He's got his own feelings and fears. But he trusts in his Father. He trusts in God and lives God's way. And so ultimately, it's that gospel. It's the self-control that we get from looking at Jesus, realizing that we are God's people, loved by him, to be living for him now. It's that understanding that we get from the gospel that we need to apply to ourselves if we have a problem with eating. So just to conclude, God has made food for us and it is good. It is a blessing from God. We need to be eating properly and healthy, but we're not to let food control our lives. We're not to let it be a passion that controls us. We're to have self-control. And this self-control itself comes about from what we learn about Jesus, what we learn about how God saves us so that we can be living for him. And just as a final note, I wanted to say, if you are struggling with that in some way, please don't keep it a secret. I forgot to put this in, it was in one of my notes, that I think with emotional eating, we can often keep it as a secret, something that no one else sees us doing. We do it secretly. If that's you, then why don't you confide in a friend and just say, look, I've got this problem. And I'd really like, you know, to be able to talk to somebody about it and just to work through some of the issues. Because just as we can make bad habits, we can make good habits. And I actually believe that by the power of God working in our lives, we can get on top of this if it's a problem for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a great God who provides all that we need. Father, we just pray that you help us to be following the example of Jesus and living a self-controlled, holy life as we live for you in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.